Welcome to the broadcast.
Every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the house. Your weekend wake-up tradition.
I talk to the trees. Stop and hear what I say.
Come on around back, Arizona. It is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, the outdoor living hour of Rosie on the house. The second Saturday of this May. Can you believe we're already in May 2022? We are talking trees, and generally we have ISA certified arborists from Save a Tree in studio talking to us, but they are all at the Arizona Community Tree Council annual tree climbing championship. They've got four climbers that are competing today that test arborists on how many different skill sets, Steve? You were the judge there. Is it like six or seven?
Five.
Five. And we'll talk through what those five are in a minute, but you know, we'll get to the tree of the month first. So they have Steve Prevey and Donna DeFrancesco are in studio, returning guests, and you guys are, you know, like, I mean, as long as Water Use It Wisely is around, I mean, that Donna is Water Use It Wisely in my book. So we've got some plethora of knowledge in studio today, and if you'd like to join the conversation, it's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888 Rosie for you. But we always start off with a tree of the month, and it is my favorite desert tree today.
Ironwood.
The ironwood. That is my favorite desert tree.
Can you say that a little better? Come on, it deserved a little better introduction.
That was just a guess.
Ironwood.
The amazing and beautiful and statuesque ironwood tree.
They're sure pretty right now.
Oh. Yes, they are. And the thing about ironwood trees and their blossoms is that here we've had this big long stretch of spring where we've had Palo Verde, Palo Brea, another Palo Verde, mesquite bloom. They're all yellow blooms, and then here at this time of year, boom, we get this beautiful display of these lavender colored flowers on the ironwood tree.
So if you're tired of yellow, ironwood's yeah. there for you.
Well, we've sure had our share of yellow this year, that's for sure. Boy, it's been a long time since I remember seeing the Palo Verdes as brilliant,
yes,
and as rich and as full as they were.
They were amazing. And we call it tree confetti because it's all over the trees, and then they drop it all to the ground. And the ground is beautiful, too. I know people think that's messy, but no, it's beautiful.
We took a couple trips down to Tucson this spring.
Oh, yeah.
And down Florence Highway, and it was like you were driving through a Palo Verde tunnel.
Oh,
I mean,
nice.
It was just
wow.
It was
right coming into Casa Grande, and then again going between Picacho and Marana.
Yeah,
the median in the middle of the road has a ton of native Palo Verdes, and it was just, you know, yellow as far as the eye could see down the road.
Yeah, yep, nice stuff.
But we're not talking about the Palo Verdes; those are past. We're now on to the ironwood, and like all desert trees, will scratch the heck out of you when you're trimming it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they have lots of ample thorns, or I guess I would call them prickles if we make a distinction there. But, most of those other trees that we just talked about have two little spines at the area where the leaf comes off. But ironwood has them there and in between where the leaves come off on the main branch of the tree. So they have lots of those guys on them. And they are really challenging to prune, especially if you get them as a 1 or a 5 gallon. They're just a tangle of those branches, and they can be challenging to prune in those at that size.
Very slow growing tree.
Yep, slow growing.
Which seems like a lot of times can make them a hardier tree, the slower the growing they are. Not always, but...
Yeah, they're very hardy, drought hardy. They're not cold hardy. In fact, they are pretty much limited to below 2,500 feet here in the state. And they are an endemic plant of the Sonoran Desert and an indicator plant of the Sonoran Desert. You get plopped down, blindfolded, plopped down, and you see an ironwood tree, you know you're in the Sonoran Desert.
And you often see them out in the native washes. They're pretty common.
Yeah.
And then you don't see them out on the flats a lot. Like we were talking about driving to Tucson between here.
Yeah.
You don't see them on flat ground. You more like where there's texture in the terrain, washes and slopes.
That's exactly right. You've got a mix of soil there where in the plain between here and Tucson, you get a lot
houses.
More density. Yeah, you get houses. But just the soil itself is all the fine material that doesn't have a lot of drainage, and they like a well-drained soil. So you get that mix of soil the closer you get to the hills and mountains that we – buttes and things that we have around here.
And a feature that the Arizona Forestry Department does is they have a tree program, and they've got champion trees. They've got legacy trees. Mm-hmm. Legacy trees are trees that they can date back to prior to Arizona statehood. So they're at least 110 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And they've got one in the Dewey area that was a – tree during a train stop, and they can document like Wyatt Earp and Doc Holliday and all these, you know, big names where they, you know, that was their resting spot going up to water their horses on their final push to Prescott. Well, they also have champion trees, and that's the largest tree of that known species. And you can see the champion ironwood tree if you're driving across Carefree Highway. It's right around mile marker. It's between 9 and 10. Or 8 and 9, I can never remember.
8 to 10.
Yes. 8 to 10. It's between 8 to 10, there you go. But it's a big wash, and it's on the south side of the tree, and it stands alone. That's the biggest known ironwood in the state.
Yeah, and that brings up a good point, because when we read literature like the Landscape Plants for the Arizona Desert book, we see these figures of that they grow about 35 feet tall, but this big old monster up there is 45 feet tall.
Oh, wow.
It's a nice big ironwood tree, and it's about 2 feet in diameter. But they do several measurements to get that those champion trees. They measure the circumference of the canopy along with the trunk diameter and height.
And that's the perfect growing conditions. It's got a microclimate. Yeah. It's protected down from the wind. It's in a wash. So even though you don't see any water on top, I'd imagine if you went in there and started digging, you'd start getting a little bit of moisture 2-3 feet down. So it's got, you know, a good water supply in the wash. And there's nothing around it. That's something else desert trees can do pretty good, is they kind of – and I know creosote, I cannot remember the name of it, but they actually off-gas – something that prevents other things from growing next to them, so they to protect their water source underneath their tree canopy.
Yeah, but they also, particularly ironwoods and mesquites and Palo Verdes, also have those branches almost all the way to the ground a lot of times in those situations where it's just the natural desert. And they, so that's where the water drips down through them. And so they're really kind of a nurse tree for other plants. And you get to find a lot of wildflowers growing under these canopies of these native trees that we have out there. And ironwood is one of them.
It's those thorny branches that protect everything underneath it. And that's why you often see saguaros coming up in the middle of an ironwood that started out very, you know, that was protected.
Find a lot of quail under there, too.
Yes. Lots
of desert wildlife under there.
Fauna, yes. And
and when we're talking water conscious landscaping, xeriscaping, low, and I know we've changed it now to low water use landscape.
Uh-huh.
That ironwood, I don't think you could get
you
a better selection. Absolutely. For a low water use, drought tolerant, hardy native.
Get it established, and then it's going to be able to survive on natural rainfall. Absolutely. And that's the kind of thing that makes so much sense. And I think, taking it from what Steve's talking about and how it survives and what it does in the desert, but let's talk about why they can really be great landscape trees. And you talked about Water Use It Wisely at the beginning, which thank you for giving me all the credit. But we have 18 great partners that work together on that campaign. We have a beautiful website, and we actually have ironwood, and it really is random as plant of the month. So if people go to waterusitwisely.com, you'll see a great article by Kathy Weiss, who's an education director at Audubon, Arizona, and she talks about how wonderful they are attracting birds. Of course, birds love it, just like you were saying, the quail, and for the protection.
It's pretty hard for a hawk to dive into a branch of thorns and snatch them out of there.
Exactly. Yeah. And then just, like you were saying, the water use, then they're such a stable tree. They don't tend to blow over and have any of those issues. And really, with those thorns, it's going to keep you from them as well. So, you know, they really don't need hardly any pruning anyway. You might have to go in there occasionally and remove a dead branch or something, but there's really not much maintenance that's needed.
And Jennifer will make wheat out of mesquite beans. Romy, who was the guest you had that brought in?
The mesquite flower.
He brought in the ironwood.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah.
Ironwood flower.
And they were really good.
Oh. Yeah. That sounds like Greg Peterson would do. Greg. Yeah.
He brought in a whole bag and passed them around as snacks, and they were delicious.
No, I can see his face, and you're embarrassing me that I can't.
I'm sorry.
it's a Gilbert arborist.
Claude Clough? Oh, no, Richard Atkins.
Thank you.
Richard Atkins. Yeah. No kidding. Good for him.
He had actually been out pruning the tree early one morning and then still got here in time for the 8 o'clock broadcast and had brought a bunch of fresh ironwood.
Ironwood snacks. They were good.
Go ahead. They can be eaten raw, too, if you get them when they're green. The pod, the seeds, that is. Yeah. That's what you grind up to make the flowers, the seeds. And they can also be eaten raw, or if you blanch them, they can be eaten just like that. You don't have to grind them. But
you're
they
talking
have
mesquite
to get them,
or you're talking ironwood?
Not mesquite, Palo Verde. Palo Verde and ironwood can both be eaten raw. But you have to get them early while they're still green. Once they turn brown, they're hard as rock, and you have to grind them up into flour.
And then there's some rule that you can't pick them up off the ground. You have to harvest them off the tree. There's that
it's better
fungus
just
or
be,
something.
Well, just because the age of it, and then you don't know if animals have,
things.
Yes, relieve themselves on the pods, I guess.
Because the horses will eat them too.
Oh, sure. Coyotes love them. Yeah, lots of animals.
And as they sit there and eat, like you say, the process happens, and they might have left a deposit on top of your your mesquite.
That's right.
Take them off the tree, not the ground.
That's right.
We've got a couple calls lining up. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to talk trees.